ladies, and welcome back to our Titus II podcast. My name is Candy Meyer, and today my niece, Kaylee Davis, will be joining me. Welcome, Kaylee.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Our topic today picks up where we left off in our scripture of Titus 2, verse number 5. For a few weeks now, we have discussed the command for us older women to admonish the younger women to be homemakers. Now we will discuss the commands to us to be good and obedient to our own husband. And I would think a lot of us would find it easier to be good than to be obedient. But the word good here means several different things. It can mean of good nature. It can mean pleasant, agreeable, joyful, happy, upright, or honorable. All of these positive words paint an obvious picture of how God wants us to not only conduct ourselves, but also portray ourselves. It seems reasonable to me that if we love our husbands, love our children, are discreet, chaste, and successful at homemaking, then we will be good. We will be pleasant, joyful, and happy. And it is hard to maintain a constant state of joy when you've had a hard day of being a wife or a mother and a homemaker. But I think if we train our brains to do our jobs with joy, we can be the good that is described here by finding happiness and fulfillment in the jobs the Lord has entrusted with us. So, Kaylee, how do you find joy and are good in your everyday life of caring for your husband, working, caring for your son, your household?
Well, I don't know if I'm necessarily good at it, but there's definitely days where I feel like I've got this, I'm rocking it. Then there are days where I'm like, this is rocking me.
Amen.
I think the finding the joy in it, though, is just remembering that I have prayed for these things for so long. Mm-hmm. I have prayed and cried and begged to have this life that I have now. And there really is joy in just the little things that Excellent. He has given me. Mm-hmm. And so just realizing and changing my focus back to, I prayed for this. I prayed for this. Now I still have hard days where I'm like, I prayed for this. I prayed for this.
And I'm going to pray for something else.
Yes. But there really is joy in just the simplest of little things. And at the end of the day, I love serving my man. At the end of the night when my house is put to bed and Mac is asleep, everyone has full bellies and clean clothes, I get a sense of pride and just thankfulness that I get to do this, that I've been entrusted with this privilege, because it really is a privilege.
Absolutely.
And it's just, it's a humbling feeling sometimes.
I love that. I love that answer. Thank you so much. And I, too, just always prayed to be a wife and a mom. Like, that was my dream growing up. And so when you do find your day, sometimes you're kind of in tears. The house is a wreck. Maybe he's throwing a fit. Maybe your husband's kind of grumpy because his tractor broke down, or, you know, he has a cow that got out or whatever. You have to realize that, okay, you know what, though? This is our life. And I'm so thankful for the little things. And I think that's just an excellent answer. Thank you. I do notice that the older I get, I am more tired or spent at the end of a hard day. But I still feel so much joy and have a sense of accomplishment when I, at the end of the day, am able to care for my family. And kind of just like what you said, go to bed with my family with their bellies are all full from a meal that I've cooked. They're sleeping in clean beds, only to wake up the next morning to a house that's picked up and a planned breakfast that will be waiting on them. And this is how I feel accomplished, that I'm doing the good discussed here in this verse.
Yes, I'm so much like you.
Yeah, we have a lot of similarities now.
We did not even plan that.
We did not. That was like, I was like, oh, she's taking my answer, but that flows so good. So now on to our topic of being obedient to our own husband. Breaking this command down, we know obedient refers to submitting to one's control, to subject oneself to obey. Or to obey. And who do we admonish the young women to be obedient to? Well, it's not to our husbands or to all husbands, but to the head of their household, which is their husband. Despite what the world teaches, submitting oneself takes an extreme amount of self-control, humility, and strength. It also takes trust, which is another reason the man you choose to marry is such an important life commitment, because you are forever agreeing to submit to him and how he desires to lead your home. We know Christ submitted himself to God's will. We know as Christians we are submitting to God. As law-abiding citizens, we are all submissive to the government. This is not a command to be feared or looked down on. God has placed us under the protection of our husbands, and what a comfort and relief that should be to us. I wanted to ask my niece to join me today because as a young wife and mother, I think she transitioned into this role of submission beautifully from the get-go with her husband. Kaylee is 26 and has been married for almost 7 years. Is that correct, Kaylee?
Yes, ma'am.
And she has a son that's nearly 2, and she works full-time from her home, so her plate's full. She's also a faithful member of the Lord's church. So, Kaylee, one of the reasons I find you so encouraging is because you have a strong personality. You know what you want. You do not settle. And you have so much confidence in your decisions and all of these things. I think would make it more difficult for you to be submissive to your husband.
Is.
But you are. Anytime our family tries to make plans or anything, Kaylee's response is always, well, let me talk to Hunter and get back to y'all. And it's not, let me ask Hunter's permission. It's just a respectful thought process that she has to consult him before she commits her family to something. So my first question regarding this topic to you is, where did you learn to be submissive? Was it in your home growing up? Was it from others in your family? Did you get it from scripture or all of these?
Yes, ma'am. So I grew up in the church, and I had so many influences of submission. So it wasn't a foreign concept to me. It was just normal. Mm-hmm. It was just expected. I knew how to do it. Mm-hmm. I will add that it was a healthy model, a model of mm-hmm. submission. It was never because y'all were afraid of y'all's men, or it wasn't anything like that.
Yes.
Mom, you, Nana, y'all always asked the men first, and the respect that y'all had for them shone down to us kids. And it was just modeled. It was mm-hmm. That's just how it was. Now, with that being said, like you said, I have a strong personality. So actually applying those things, uh-huh. you can see it modeled your whole life. My sweet little Nana is so precious.
And I talk about her
yes,
later too.
Is, she's just the sweetest thing ever. Uh-huh. And is just so meek and just humble. And mm-hmm. just, I'm like, I want to be Nana. And yeah. I'm more of the fiery side of Nana.
Yes, you are. Yes.
And uh-huh. so I've had to work on that a lot. Mm-hmm. But I've had the Proverbs 31 woman around me all the time. And so there's so many different women that I could name that I've looked up to in that aspect. So I knew what to do, but how to apply it when you're actually in it.
Absolutely.
And really just like, okay, I'm going to trust, I'm going to mm-hmm. let this go. It's a little bit difficult.
It is. And it's very scary, but
yes.
But you do agree that it does take time. It's not an overnight, oh, click, flip on the switch.
No.
Now I'm married and I'm submissive. I got this.
No, I asked Hunter, and I get into that in a little bit, and uh-huh. it was probably a good 2-3 years before it really just like, Kaylee, why is this not clicking?
Right.
And it has because to be I felt like I was.
Right.
But yeah, I'll get into that.
Okay, got you. So when do you find it hardest to be submissive?
Okay, so, well, at first I found it just hard in general because yeah. you are relinquishing control, and I'm a bit of I like to be in control. Mm-hmm. I'm a hurry up and get it done kind of person, much so like you. Mm-hmm. Hunter is not. Mm-hmm. My husband makes decisions, and he makes them very long. He thinks very long, very hard on them. He is not quick. He uses discernment that I obviously don't have sometimes.
My husband is the same. You know, your Uncle Brad is yes. not quick about anything.
No. And so I'm like, just make the decision. We can go ahead and get it done and be done with it and right. go to the next one. And he's like, no. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so I have told him multiple times since working on this that I do fully trust him. And I know mm-hmm. that at the end of the day, he's never going to lead us into any financial trouble. He's mm-hmm. never going to put us in harm's way. And I know that I'm his top priority. Mm-hmm. I know Mac and I were his top priority. So having that trust, like you said, in who you marry mm-hmm. is essential. It really is.
Huge.
Because if he was doing things that were putting us in danger financially mm-hmm. or just with other aspects, I'd be like, no, I'm not letting you have control.
Right. Exactly.
But knowing that he's not going to and he has our best interest mm-hmm. really does help. But
that does make it a little bit easier.
I struggle with that still to this day. And I look back at things that we've gone through and I'm like, okay, if we would have gone the way that I wanted to go, it would have backfired. So I see where
you see this. His,
yes,
where the,
I do.
Yeah, he's smart.
But I
that.
Still am like, just make a decision.
Well, you're so much like me. So do you feel any worldly embarrassment or get any pushback for being submissive to Hunter with any maybe worldly friends that you have?
So I really don't feel embarrassment, and I don't think I've ever been embarrassed about it. Once I figured out my role mm-hmm. in being submissive and knowing that submitting is not weakness. It is being
right.
obedient to the Lord by your husband, through your husband.
Right. Very good.
And once you figure that out, I felt like, and I even asked Hunter to confirm this to make sure it wasn't just me, but after I fulfilled my role and I learned my role, that our marriage has just grown 10 times what it was prior to that.
That's great.
I've learned to let him lead, uh-huh. and I've learned that that's okay.
Right.
That's mm-hmm. okay. It is his role for him to lead and my role to be next to him. And I'm supporting him and I'm encouraging him and I'm there if he wants my opinion.
Right.
But I don't have to give it. And that's a hard one for me because I'm like,
exactly. But if you would just,
got it.
I think you really made an important point there, though. You talked about how much better your marriage is now since you learned that. It's because you're doing it God's way. We have to know God's way is always the best way, even if we don't, for one, necessarily, I don't want to say agree with it, but maybe even understand the logic behind it. But then you do notice, I'm sure this is not something I had kind of planned on talking about, but I'm sure you do notice your husband is way less emotional about decision making than you are, which is why I think a lot of times they are more logical than we are as a whole. I realize that some people, everybody's families are kind of different, but I think as a whole, they make more decisions not emotionally as we do. And of course, our emotions throughout the
women are led by emotions.
Absolutely. And they're more logic. And so I feel like that's a part of God's wisdom, I would think, in making them the head. Did Hunter take time to get used to this role, or was he ready to be your leader right away?
So I actually loved this question. And when you gave me this topic, I asked Hunter, do you think I'm even qualified to talk on this topic? And he said, after 7 years married and 10 years together, I do think so. But if we had done this in our first 2 years of marriage, probably not. And I said, well, I appreciate the honesty. So our first 2 years, I really struggled. And I've been very open about that with the girls and with you. And everybody knows that I fought him a lot on this. Even though I had seen it modeled my entire life, I listened to so many lessons. I was in every class, every book I could read. I was hungry for the knowledge on how to serve my husband. But then when it came to apply it, I was like, okay, well, I'm applying it the way that I want to apply it, not the way that it should be applied.
Okay.
It took Hunter no time to step up and lead because first he asked me to, and second, he was ready, and I was fighting him. It really took Hunter finally telling me, like, you are fighting me. We're a team and you're fighting against me. I'm constantly pulling you this way. And it was like, whoa.
Okay,
that kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. But I needed to hear that. I didn't feel like I was, but then looking back, I'm like, okay, I could definitely see where I should have just been more quiet on the topic and just let him do what he needs to do.
I think most of us are not self-aware. I really do. I think when somebody's like, you know, you're kind of a negative person, you're like, what? Or you're such a talker, I can't get it. What? Like, you, sometimes we don't see each other like we really are until we
Hunter can tell. He tells me every time. He tells me, which I'm thankful for. I'm so thankful. But I feel like I was just giving my opinion to kind of like help him.
Right.
When in reality, he doesn't need it.
Right.
And that's still hard for me because I will say Hunter is so excellent at coming to me and being like, okay, I want to do this. What do you think? Even though I know ultimately he has the final say, but he wants my opinion too.
That's
on
great.
It. But it's knowing that he wants it and is asking for it and me not just spouting it onto him when he doesn't need it.
Right, right.
I feel like I have grown in that. I've learned to keep my mouth shut.
That's wonderful. It is.
But he knows that too. So he doesn't just like hound me on, like he knows that I struggle and he'll be like, okay, well, I'm going to think on it or whatever and come back and we'll address it then. We had an elder actually when we first got engaged that took me and his wife and Hunter obviously, and we all had supper and he did us a devo, just us privately. And we actually have a handwritten copy of that devo framed in our house because he has since passed.
Yes.
And it was just over money, but it all tied back together is if you don't agree on something, then don't do it.
Wow.
And we apply that sometimes because there are times, like you said, that he knows best and I'm going to have to let him. But when we got out, what we got out of that, and we refer back to this all the time, like if it's a big issue and we are just not seeing eye to eye on it, then we're just not going to do it. We're going to pause it. We're going to think about it. We're going to pray on it and we'll come back to it.
And that's what I bet he meant. Something major. Like, let's decide to buy a car. That's a huge expense. So if one's gung-ho and the other one's super not, I think that's great. Okay, we'll just, for not now, no, but we're not, no, never.
And we use that, like, okay, like, we don't agree on this, so we're just going to wait for a little bit. Okay, cool. And we'll come back to it if it arises again. And when it does, we usually always kind of come back to it and have either come to a resolve or just agreed to just not do it because we thought about it longer.
Right.
But I really feel like that's helped us a lot.
That's
Mr. Tommy
amazing.
Taking us like that and really showing us that him and Miss Melanie have been married for, oh my goodness, they've been married like forever. And really helping us to know like, okay, you are a team and kind of bringing us back to that. And we read that off quite a bit, actually.
I absolutely love that. And I love that you just kind of brought up the work there of the church and its people and how we should help younger you know, younger people. I know you've given a lot of advice to my daughter-in-law, and since Kaysen is your cousin, and I so appreciate that. And you give advice to Brylee, who,
yes,
you know, hopefully wants to get married soon. And so I appreciate, no matter what age you are, at some point somebody's younger than you, mm-hmm, and you can still admonish them to do these things.
Yes, and I feel like that was really important. And yes, I had people to look up to and listen, mm-hmm, to, but it's different when you're in it. When you're in it and you're going through things, in our first 2 years, packed so much into it. It was, mm-hmm, like, oh my goodness, we were just thrown challenge after challenge after challenge. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't small decisions. We were making huge ones. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, it was a lot.
It was a lot. You see, that's why it takes you a little bit sometimes to acclimate to your role. Mm-hmm. It's not just a light switch you're going to flip.
No, not at all.
For either one. And so, so growing up, my mom, which is Kaylee's grandmother, who she mentioned earlier, we lovingly call her Nana. She was always very submissive to my dad, and it was always clear he made the decisions. He was the breadwinner, and he was the leader. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I went to public school, and we unfortunately were not faithful in the Lord's church, so a lot of my influence was of the worldly nature. And I remember thinking, my husband will not talk to me that way, and I will not ask his permission or approval when I want to do something. So obviously, with all my teenage wisdom, I knew it all. And now, as a mature Christian, I can see I was viewing their situation through worldly glasses, so my focus was off. Luckily, as I grew older, my family became Christians. I studied God's word for myself and have come to realize that my mother, who is now an elder's wife, had it all correct. And I'm so thankful for her example, as well as my dad's example of being a leader for his family. Kaylee, do you have any advice for your sisters in regards to how to remain submissive to their husbands?
Remaining submissive is something I'm still doing every day. Mm-hmm. But I would say just to stop fighting against your husband. Let him be the man. Mm-hmm. Lean into your husband. Trust him. Pray for him. Pray for him to step up. Pray for him to lead if he's not doing that right now. Mm-hmm. And then also thank the Lord for that. If your husband is ready and right there and is like, let me take control, mm-hmm, then just be so thankful that you have a husband that is willing to step up and lead, because that is a learned trait from him as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's not you and your parents. It's not you and your best friend. It's not you and your siblings. It is you and him. And, mm-hmm, your marriage is the only one that's going to reap the benefits from you learning your role.
I love that. So here is my advice. Study and practice God's word. Look at godly examples that you are surrounded with of sisters that are submissive without being doormats, which Kaylee kind of mentioned earlier.
Yes.
Being submissive does not mean you cannot have an opinion or you and your husband do not make decisions together. It does not mean you have lost your identity and you should always just be seen and not heard. A lot of men are not comfortable being submitted to. They want to have their helpmate that is supportive and suggestive of things, and one that evokes confidence in him and his ability to lead. Do not sit back and lay all the hard decisions at your husband's feet. He has the final say, but you are one, so make decisions together. And when he chooses something you wouldn't have, do not wait over them in the corner to yank the rug out from underneath them and predict that this was going to fail. I told you this wouldn't work. If he decides wrong, you stand by him. You own the decision together, and you instill confidence in him that he is a good leader, and you will get through this situation together. Ladies, if you are not married, I encourage you to choose a man that you trust completely.
Absolutely.
So that it will make it easier to submit yourself to him. We need to remember submitting to our own husbands and being good is submitting to God and his will. What comfort we women have in having our God, Christ, and husband being our leaders, as stated in Ephesians 5:23 and 1 Corinthians 11:3. So right now we are going to read these two verses. So Kaylee, if you don't mind, would you please read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 from us?
Yes, ma'am. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body.
Now we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 3. And it reads, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of a woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." Let these verses guide you and reassure you. God has given us women so much protection, love, and responsibility. We thank you for joining us today, and we both pray you find the strength and courage to submit to your God and your husband.